Right, so welcome to the fourth webinar of the Fostering Potential program. This webinar is being led by Ben Perkins from National Numeracy. I'm really excited to welcome Ben to the Fostering Network today. And he's going to be talking about mathematics with a focus on the primary years. Right, so I'll hand over to Ben and let him begin his presenting.
Thank you very much, and thank you all for joining us this morning. Just by way of introduction, as Susan said, I'm Ben and I'm from National Numeracy. You might not have heard of us as an organisation, but we're an independent charity. Our charitable mission is to help people of all ages, from early years until adulthood, to be confident and competent with the number skills that they need in everyday life. And this session, just to give a quick overview of what we'll be talking about. Sorry, I'm messing up the technology there. So we'll do a quick overview of the picture of numeracy in the UK and what that looks like compared to other countries and some of the issues that we have. We'll talk a bit about our own attitudes as adults towards maths and why that is really important to the way that we support children. Then we'll go on to the role of engagement in children's maths learning from adults outside of school and share some tips for how to engage positively. And then I'll link you to some resources that can help with both your own maths and engaging with children. And then there'll be time for questions at the end. So in the UK, numeracy levels are particularly low compared to where other countries are. So these figures that you can see on the screen are for adults, and they come from the Skills for Life survey in 2011, which is the most recent data available. And it shows that among the adult population, we have extremely low levels of numeracy. As you can see, 49% of adults have the numeracy skills expected of children at primary school, and roughly 4 in 5 are working below the level at below the level 2, which is the equivalent of C, or the new grade 4 at GCSE. And that is an indication of some of the difficulties that the school system has in terms of preparing people for their functional numeracy that they need in everyday life. And we think as an organisation, and there's lots of evidence that's been produced that supports this, that the reason that we have such difficulties around maths in the UK is to do with culture. So the statistics that you can see on your screen are from a recent poll that we did with Ipsos Mori and released last month. And it shows that the public value maths and numeracy less than they do reading and writing. And this is just one way of presenting that information. But we have done lots and lots of research that suggests the same pattern, that people see maths as less valuable than reading or writing skills and less important than literacy. So we do a lot of work with people around their thoughts and feelings towards maths. And you might be sitting there thinking how you feel about maths, and it might be the particular reason that you joined this webinar. There might be certain anxieties or fears that the idea of supporting children with maths might bring up for you. And that's actually really common. The word cloud that you can see on the screen is from our years of workshops with adults about how they feel about maths. And those, obviously, the words that are largest are the ones that are used most commonly to describe that feeling. So you can see anxious, nervous, and panic being the most prominent. There's a couple of positives in there, but you can see an overwhelmingly negative experience that people have had. And you might be wondering, when it comes to children, why these emotions that adults have matter. And one of the most important reasons that matters is because when you get the opportunity to ask adults how how they feel and why they might feel that way, the vast majority of people link back to something that happened in childhood, particularly in school. Stories like being embarrassed in classes because they didn't know the answer, being in the bottom set for maths and feeling stupid, or one quite prominent example is being told as a child that maths isn't a girl's subject, and that brothers or other people will be better at maths because they're a boy. And all of these things stick with people prominently enough that it puts them off engaging with maths as an adult. So at National Numeracy, we came up with a new approach to supporting people of all ages, from childhood to adulthood, with maths learning. And what we began to understand was that there's quite a lot of psychology behind maths learning that isn't always apparent with other subjects. So we put together this model, which is on your screen now, which we call value, belief, and effort. So this is a psychological framework of attitudes that we think that people need in order to excel in functional numeracy. So value is the first piece, and that is understanding that something is important to you, and understanding why it might be useful. So a lot of people's value statements are things like to be able to better manage money, to be able to help children with homework, to be able to get on in work and access certain careers. But for children, it's about seeing the maths in the real world from a very young age. So it's not unusual for primary school maths to reach a level that is quite abstract very early on. And one thing that we say as an organisation about the maths that is taught in the school system is that it's quite often very, very complex maths at quite an early age, but in very, very simple situations. Whereas what we actually need in the real world is simple mathematics, but in very, very complex situations. So, for example, planning a journey is one of the most common given examples of using maths in the everyday. But we don't need very complicated maths for that. It's usually simple addition and understanding time that we need to do that. But the situations can become very, very complex, and therefore they can become more difficult. So it's important that children are able to see the use of numbers in the real world beyond the classroom in order to start developing that value piece quite early. The second part of the model is belief. So this is about a concept which you might be familiar with, or you might not, but it's called growth mindset. And that's the idea that our abilities are not fixed at any point, and that everyone can improve when certain conditions are in place. This is an area that people find particularly difficult with maths. You've probably heard people, or you might consider yourself, to either be a maths person or not a maths person. But what we know is that everyone can improve to a level of functional numeracy, regardless of their starting ability. And finally, the last piece is effort. And that is about more than just the idea that you have to try. That is unfortunately true, that you do have to try to learn things. But what's really important here, and can be really difficult for children, is understanding that everyone finds learning hard sometimes. It's absolutely okay to make mistakes. And if you're not making mistakes, then you're not learning anything. So that can be particularly difficult for children, because with maths, there being quite often a right or wrong answer, there's a tendency to see a big red cross and just think, oh, I'm wrong, oh, I can't do it. Whereas what children need to hear from carers and other adults is that, yes, it might be difficult, but it's normal to find that difficult and that it can be worked through and it's okay that you got it wrong the first time. I use the analogy with adults, which doesn't work so well for children, but just to give you an idea on this, is that nobody believes that they're just bad at driving if they fail their driving test the first time. Because lots of us do, I can tell you from experience. And as disappointing as it is, what the vast majority of people do in response is they get back in the car in their lessons and they have another go, even if it takes several times. And that's the kind of message, that's the kind of message that we want to be giving our young people about maths. If they're bringing home worksheets where they've been given lots of wrong answers, that's okay because we can learn how to do it. And we see this kind of pattern with maths as people grow up, that if somebody fails one exam, they believe that they're just bad. And then that affects their performance throughout and even into adulthood. When I ask adults, why do you feel like you're terrible at maths? They'll say, because I didn't pass my GCSE the first time. But again, like the driving analogy, it's not always fair to say you're just not good at something because you didn't succeed the first time. Back onto the kind of negative culture that we were talking about that doesn't quite embody those attitudes that I was just discussing. We know that there are lots and lots of myths around maths, which are very prevalent in society. And if you are believing them, then the chances are they will be picked up by children and they will believe them too, which will affect not only their ability in academically at school with maths, but also their ability to be functionally numerate afterwards. So the one that I've put up the top, which is a really, really big one, is that maths is not useful once you have GCSE. And it's undeniably true that the maths GCSE is incredibly important for children's life chances. However, we still need maths beyond that. Lots of people think, oh, I've got my A star to C or I haven't got my A star to C one way or the other, and that's the end of maths. And that can be picked up in the classroom as children go through secondary school when maths gets more abstract and more of the trigonometry and algebra comes in. But an important way of preventing that from coming through is for children to see numbers in the real world from a very young age. So, for example, if children are very, very young, it could be as simple as we're on the bus number 7 and we've gone past a bus number 12, and pointing out the numbers that are there and saying, oh, is 12 a bigger number than 7? Just so that children are conscious and aware of the numbers around them. As children get older, there are things like trips to the supermarket where you might approach a 10 items or less queue and ask children to estimate how many items are there in the basket. And then money can come into it as they get older, approximating and estimating how much the shopping might cost, looking at the prices. So you see this bringing in the idea that there are numbers around us in normal conversation that we have. So it's not a stop and think, oh, let's talk about maths. It's just what we're getting about our daily business, being conscious and aware of numbers that can make people realize, that can make children realize that actually this is important. The second one on there I touched on a little bit earlier, but it is very important. It's not true that boys are better at maths than girls. It's not true that they have any kind of starting advantage. But lots of people do believe that, And they believe that kind of across the curriculum as well, in various ways, that there being the idea of boys' subjects and girls' subjects. But what we know about functional maths is that it's a skill that everyone needs, and that there is no gender difference or any kind of natural ability. And in fact, we know that there's not any kind of natural ability at all, which leads me on to the second and the third, sorry, one that I've listed there. There is no genetic bias towards being good at maths, and there is no part of the brain which is working differently that might be stronger in one person that makes them good at maths. It's undeniably true that people reach different levels, certainly by the time they're an adult, but quite early on through childhood. But what we know is that a lot of that is to do with the things that have happened in their lives and the kind of attitudes that they are surrounded by. So, for example, if a child picks up an idea from a very young age that they're going to be worse at it because they're a girl, that pervading attitude will put them off from engaging from it. And when you put off from engaging from it, what you do is you limit the amount of practice that you're doing. Mm-hmm. So we have to be aware of the development of preference, because it's okay to prefer certain subjects to others, and that's natural. But if we develop strong preferences for things, we can dismiss some skills. And therefore, we reach the point where we're getting exams and being tested, having done much less practice than other people because we didn't enjoy it. And therefore, we might be led to believe that actually we're just not good at it. But that is something that can be prevented. The fourth one down is that nobody needs maths anymore because we have technology. And as much as that might be a nice thought, it's sadly not true. Technology is really helpful for people doing maths, and you'll probably be aware that there are some elements of the school system where you're allowed to use calculators and some where you aren't. But in the real world, calculators and technology can help us out, but that doesn't mean that we don't need any math skills. And this is really important thing for children to understand, because it's one of the first, I don't want to say excuses, but it's one of the first reasons that people will hear that maths isn't important. So to be able to use a calculator effectively, you need functional numeracy, because in a real world situation, for example, working out what time to get to the airport to make sure you catch a flight, you can't put those words into a calculator. It won't understand. So you have to translate it into mathematical language, and that's an important thing to point out. And there's also important numerate behaviour behind using a calculator, which is around estimation and understanding a sense of the numbers and what they should be. So, for example, if you are a nurse or your child wants to become a nurse and you're using a calculator to do a calculation for how many milligrams of a drug someone should get, you want to be able to know and have a sense that this number should end up about 12. So if you get 120 or you get 1.2, you avoid what in that situation is a very dangerous error, but in many situations is a very inconvenient error. And finally, the reliance on calculators is problematic when we realise that they don't always work. So for children to believe that calculators will save them in all situations, I think we've all had that experience of technology where we were relying on it and it didn't do what we wanted it to do. And at the bottom, it's very linked to the third one, so I won't dwell on it, but it's really, really important for children that if someone's placed in the bottom set, that's quite a difficult, it's quite a difficult thing for many children to cope with. And their response to it is usually, I'm no good, I don't like it, I don't want to do it. But being placed in a bottom set doesn't mean that you're bad at maths, because as I say, there's no gene that would make you that way. It might mean that you need different types of support and that you might be slightly behind, but it doesn't mean that you can't you can't do it just as well as everyone else can. So that leads me on to engagement, and you can see from the quotes on the screen that lots and lots of research and studies have shown that engagement by adults outside of school, so in other words, any adults who aren't teachers, has a really positive impact on children's learning. So you can see the top one is from the Department for Education, saying a large and positive impact on children's learning. And the bottom one is from a research study, which says the effect of involvement at home was stronger than that of either socioeconomic status or the guardian's level of education. So what we're saying there is it doesn't matter how good you are at maths or how well off you are, it's still a very positive thing to be engaged with maths learning. And that's important because a lot of people tell me that they are just too embarrassed by their own maths level to even consider engaging with their children's. We've also got evidence as well from some work that we did across London in 28 primary schools, which aimed to involve adults outside of school in children's learning. And we found that from that project, 88% of children involved said they increased their confidence with maths. Teachers reported an 18% increase in people staying on task during maths lessons, 20% more pupils completing the expected work in class, and there was a 22% increase in the pupils who were in greater than expected as the definition of their attainment. And through that, we didn't change any kind of maths curriculum. We didn't teach any maths to adults or to the children. All we did was encourage the adults to engage using activities in the real world, such as those that I gave the examples of in the supermarket. So that shows that there is a tangible increase in attainment and tangible reason to be engaged, even if you're not that confident with maths yourself. We break down four top tips for adults for getting involved positively with their children's maths. So perhaps the most important one is to talk positively about maths, and that sounds really, really simple and basic point, but actually it is a simple point, and that's the glory of it, because everyone can do it. You don't need any maths skill to do it, but just avoiding saying things like, oh, I can't do maths anyway, I hated maths at school myself, not knowing how to do maths never did me any harm, or I don't use maths anyway, and getting rid of all those things from our language, which are really commonplace and quite understandable to say, because so many of us had negative experience with maths in school, and it's understandable to feel that way, but just having an awareness that that does affect children's attitudes, and we don't want them to feel the same way that we did. So just being careful of those phrases and turning them into messages from the value, belief and effort model instead. So for example, a nice way to talk about value is to talk about the way that you're using numbers in the real world, as well as pointing out the numbers that happen around you, and just showing children that it is important to understand numbers. So for example, if your child says that they want to become a nurse or a hairdresser or any kind of career from a very young age, even if they're young enough that that's not likely to be their long-term plan, then linking the number skills that they might need in that job, just talking about it, if they say, oh, well, I'd like to be a hairdresser, and they're cutting their teddy bear's hair in a way that's really annoying you because it was expensive, then talking about, oh, you went to the hairdresser and said they're gonna cut 2 inches off, roughly how much is that? And you see, it's not having a conversation about maths, but bringing maths into the conversations that we're having anyway. And talking positively about maths also moves towards this talking about the numbers that we see in the real world and away from times tables testing and pressuring people to get answers right to problems that don't have any kind of substance in the real world, and finding finding ways that that same skill can be applied to the real world. The second tip is similar, but slightly different in that it's linking maths to the everyday. So we need to get away from talking about maths as only a classroom subject and talking about it as the ways that we use it out and about, around the house, maybe in games. And a really strong way of linking maths to the everyday is actually linking it to the things that the children tell you that they enjoy and bringing in that conversation that way. So for example, if you are caring for a child who is a big fan of football, depending on their age, you can do things like, oh, let's take a free kick from about 45 degrees. Roughly how far do you think 45 degrees is? Or you can just point it out while you're watching football on the TV. They've got a penalty, that's 12 yards out. So how far do we think is 12 yards? Or if they're more into kind of cooking and you do kind of family baking together, there's an awful lot to play with there, particularly around weights and measures and quantities. But all these things that won't feel like maths to them, but are actually giving them a sense of numbers, are really, really important. The third one, praising effort, not talent. And I put talent in inverted commas because I'm very cautious of the idea that people can be born with an innate ability. But it's very, very tempting with children to go, oh, goodness, aren't you clever? Haven't you done well? Or you've got it right. And then have nothing to say if they've got it wrong. And whereas if we're praising effort, we're saying things like, oh, you've worked really hard on that problem. You've really got better at this thing. But we're not criticising them for not getting it right. We're praising the fact that particularly if they've kept going, they've been persevering, and they're trying really hard, that, like I said earlier, when we talked about effort, it's okay to be wrong. And that will help them avoid that kind of fear of being wrong that we often get with maths. The last one that I put on there is boost your own skills. And the reason I put that on there is because the best way to be confident in supporting other people with something is to make sure that you're confident in it yourself. And we know from the statistics that we talked through at the start that lots of adults aren't confident in themselves. And if you are among them, that's completely understandable and a normal way to feel. And we've got tools that will help you with that, which I'll come on to in a second. So we've got two resources here, which are both developed by National Numeracy. One is for adults or for, I know this has been mainly about primary school children, but if there are people on here who have who care for children who are about 14 or over, this will work for them as well. It's called the National Numeracy Challenge, and it's a free online learning resource which anyone can use. The link is on your screen. And it's all about maths, but in the real world, mapped against this idea of the essentials of numeracy that we've developed. So it's about having the functional skills that you need in everyday life, but taking out the things that we might remember from school that might make us feel anxious, so that we don't need to worry about simultaneous equations, for example. And what it does is it gives you an assessment so that you can find out your level, but most importantly, it gives you learning resources which are linked to the questions that you got wrong at the right level for you. So rather than it just being a test and it's saying you scored this, well done, it's trying to find out roughly what your score would be and therefore what level you're working at and therefore what resources you need to brush up on just the bits that you're not confident on. So you don't have to take a whole maths course. You can just do the bits that you're confident, that you're less confident on, and improve those skills. The other resource that's on there, which is probably the one which is most relevant for the people that have joined here, is our Family Maths Toolkit. And that consists of a website, but also there are some activities that you can buy as well, but I'm focusing mainly on the website because that is free to access. And this website has advice for parents, including things like how to help children with homework, how to understand the current teaching methods that are around, and lots and lots about the kind of messaging that I've been discussing that is important and useful for children, and how to weave in those conversations that we've been talking about. Guidance is there on the website. But there's also ideas of activities for children, and those are divided into different age groups. What our pedagogical, I almost struggle that word, pedagogical experts tell us is the right age for people to be thinking about numbers in what particular way. So we've got sections on there for games, songs and rhymes, out and about, in the home. So loads and loads of ideas for you to get engaged in positively with children. They're all things that that we think link maths to the real world, but they're also designed to kind of spur on some of your own ideas as well. So using the website to get some pointers and then thinking up your own ideas as well. There's also suites of activities which are for different year groups, which are purchasable, but you can use everything else on the website for free. And I think that's about the time that we have.